Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're digging into something quite profound from Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23.
Yes, the eye as the lamp of the body.
Exactly. And what it means for that eye, that inner vision really, to be good or single, as opposed to bad or evil. We're not talking a literal eyesight here.
No, it's much more about our inner focus, wouldn't you say? Our mental clarity, our spiritual perception.
Precisely. And it's one of those bits that can feel a little maybe cryptic at first glance.
Like a riddle, almost. But, you know, when you start to unpack it, its relevance for just daily life, for clarity and direction, it really shines through.
Yeah, and think about the context in Matthew 6. Jesus is talking about very practical things, giving, prayer, fasting.
Right, so this teaching on the eye isn't some isolated, abstract idea. It's right there alongside these core practices. It's about how we orient ourselves, what we're actually looking at.
So our mission for this deep dive is to really get to grips with this single-eyedness. What is it, and maybe more importantly, how can it help us find more focus, more purpose?
Okay, where should we start?
Well, Jesus kicks it off with that powerful statement, the light of the body is the eye.
It's a great starting point. Our physical sight illuminates the world, lets us navigate. He's using that very relatable experience.
But talk about something deeper, connecting physical sight to maybe spiritual understanding. Mental perception.
Exactly. Our capacity to discern, to understand. It's like Thayer's definition hints at this, calling it the eyes of the mind, the faculty of knowing. It's how we access insight, especially from God's word, for instance.
Okay. So it's our internal lens for understanding.
Think about someone who can't see physically. Their ability to move, to make progress, to accomplish things is deeply affected.
Right. That makes sense. It's a powerful analogy.
And that analogy highlights just how vital our spiritual sight, our inner vision is for our own journey, our, you know, Christian walk or just life in general. The analogy starts physical, but the emphasis shifts inward.
So when we talk about seeing in this context, this spiritual sense, it's not just passive awareness, is it? It feels more active.
Oh, absolutely. It involves actively possessing or laying hold of understanding. It implies progress, like a continuous movement forward in comprehension.
And accomplishment, too, like knowing when you've grasped something.
That's exactly. An awareness of task completion, of understanding achieved. It's an active engagement.
That reminds me of God asking Jeremiah, what do you see?
That's a perfect example. It wasn't just about identifying an almond branch. It was about seeing God's purpose, having that clear inner vision, understanding what God was about to do.
Vision is crucial for purpose, then.
Foundational. And look at Proverbs 29.1aa, where there is no vision, and that means no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish.
And perish, there isn't just like dying, is it? It's more nuanced.
Right. It suggests a loss of dignity, of honor, casting off restraint. Shame is sort of its opposite. So this ability to truly see inwardly, it elevates the quality of life, the meaning we find.
Okay, so this light that comes from having a properly focused inner eye,
yeah.
What does it actually do? What's its function?
Well, think about physical light again. What does it do? It brightens things up, right? It pushes back darkness.
Helps you find things you've lost, gives you direction.
Makes you aware of your surroundings, reveals what was hidden. That's the key here. The light Jesus is talking about is revelation uncovering what's hidden.
Ah, so it connects back to that vision in Proverbs.
Yeah.
Discovering the unseen.
Precisely. And uncovering the hidden usually requires some effort, doesn't it? Searching, investigation.
You have to actively look.
Exactly. And this revelation, this light, it's also synonymous with understanding. There's a clear progression.
Okay, lay that out for us.
Good eyes, that clear inner focus, lead to light, which is revelation. Revelation then leads to understanding. Understanding deepens into comprehension.
And comprehension lets you apply it.
Yes. That's wisdom, the ability to apply knowledge effectively. It all starts with that focused sight.
Right, which brings us to the core idea.
Yeah.
Being single-eyed. I love that phrase from the King James Version.
It's very evocative, isn't it? If therefore, then I be single.
So what does single actually mean here? It's not using just one physical eye, obviously.
No. It implies a determined focus, a fixed state of looking. Like you're consistently observing one thing without being easily swayed or distracted by other things pulling at your attention.
It's about mental and spiritual steadfastness. And unwavering attention.
You got it. A broken focus, or maybe a variable understanding, sometimes clear, sometimes fuzzy, that creates problems, especially, you know, in our relationship with God or our core principles.
It makes sense. If your focus is scattered, How can you move forward effectively?
Exactly. Singleness of looking, that focused gaze, it guarantees continuous movement, advancement in life. It ties directly into decision making.
How so?
Well, think about it. If your eye is single, fixed on what truly matters, let's say, God's kingdom values, your decisions will reflect that clarity. You'll be filled with light, with understanding.
But if your focus is split, or primarily on, say, the earthly system, temporary things,
then that internal darkness Jesus talks about starts to creep in. Your decisions become clouded, confused. It really echoes his teaching about serving two masters, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. You can't effectively serve God's kingdom and the transient earthly system. Your focus determines your master, essentially.
And that determines whether your inner world is filled with light or darkness. So being single-minded about what God says about foundational truths is just crucial.
Okay, so assuming we can cultivate this single-eyedness, this focused inner vision, what are the practical benefits? What changes for us?
Well, the scriptures connect some really significant benefits to this kind of focused mind. For instance, Isaiah 26.3 talks about perfect peace for the one whose mind is stayed fixed on God.
Perfect peace. That sounds pretty good in today's world. What else?
There's the idea of transformation. 2 Corinthians 3.18 speaks about being changed from glory to glory as we behold, as we fix our gaze. Our inner vision clears and we become more aligned with our true potential.
So focus leads to growth, to transformation.
Mm-hmm. And Hebrews 12.2 links looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of faith, with strengthening our own faith. Focus enriches our trust.
Okay, peace, transformation, faith enrichment. Anything else?
Yes. Psalm 34.5 suggests that looking to him brightens our countenance, delivers us from shame. There's a confidence, a sort of radiance that comes from that focused reliance.
Wow, those are really compelling benefits. Peace, growth, stronger faith. Even a brighter outlook.
Yeah.
So the big question then, how do we do it? How do we become single-eyed? What are the steps?
That's the practical crunch, isn't it? Well, the source material suggests a few things. First, it starts with a fundamental decision, like surrendering your life to Christ.
Framing it as an investment in something eternal, something lasting.
Exactly. An investment in an eternal kingdom. And that commitment is said to grant access to the mind of Christ, a whole new way of seeing things. It's about aligning your core allegiance.
Okay, so a foundational commitment. What's next?
Setting priorities in order, really consciously deciding what matters most. You know, Matthew 6.33 talks about seeking first the kingdom. Colossians 3.2 says, set your minds on things above.
It's about defining your hierarchy of needs, maybe God's version versus, say, Maslow's. Putting first things first.
Precisely. Then acknowledging we might need help with this, asking God for empowerment in these decisions. Philippians 2.13 says, God works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure.
So recognize it takes more than just willpower. Seek divine enablement.
Right. And trusting the Holy Spirit to actually cultivate that single eye within us. Zechariah 4.6 reminds us, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, relying on that inner guidance.
Okay, commitment, priorities, seeking empowerment, trusting the Spirit. Is there a final piece?
Yes, being responsible with your time, recognizing its value. Psalm 90 verse 12 asks God to teach us to number our days, to gain a heart of wisdom.
How we spend our time reflects what our eye is truly fixed on, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. Where you invest your time shows your real priorities, your true focus. Being intentional with it is key.
Okay, so let's try and pull this all together. This deep dive into being single-eyed, this focused spiritual vision. It really seems to be the key, doesn't it? For a life that's actually filled with light, with understanding, with purpose.
Absolutely. It's not about the physical eyes, but the clarity and direction of our inner focus, our mind, our heart.
And those practical steps we talked about, that foundational commitment, setting clear priorities, seeking strength beyond ourselves, trusting inner guidance, and being really intentional with our time.
Mm-hmm. Those are the ways we actively cultivate it. It's not passive. It requires conscious effort and reliance.
So as you listening, think about all this. Consider all the different things, all the lights maybe. Buying for your attention every single day. What one shift, what single adjustment in your focus could bring the most clarity, the most illumination to your own path right now?
It's a powerful question to reflect on.
Definitely something to think about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.